Okay, I was going to talk about, I'm still going to, about a topic that I was asked to speak about by the OU had a convention last week, whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, and I was invited to speak there, and they asked me to speak about a topic that I hadn't really been asked a shaila about per se, although the more I thought about it, I realized that someone once sort of asked me this question, and then I got another email tonight that sort of touches a little bit on this topic as well. It's somewhat related, and I'll tell you both questions, and we'll see why they're somewhat related. The question that that the OU asked me to speak about was, what do you do in the following situation? Someone knocks at your door, and they're looking for money. So that happens all the time. People knock on my door looking for money, but it's mamash a pikuach nefesh case. Their child needs a surgery, and without the surgery, they're going to die. And this is a life saving surgery. It's going to cost $300,000 to do the surgery. They don't have insurance. They don't have the ability to do it. They're with Obamacare or whatever, they just can't. They can't. They're from a different country or the life saving surgery. They need the money. Bottom line, they need the money. A Jewish person, they're honest. You go and you check out all their credentials, and it's a true story. Do you have to like sell your house? I mean, it's pikuach nefesh. Right, so isn't pikuach nefesh docha kol ha'tora kula? If it's docha kol ha'tora kula, except for avodah zarah gilui reish v'chazam, shouldn't it at least be docha your money? So do you have to like empty everything, give everything? Okay, so you might argue, no, you know, let other people do that. There are richer people that should be able to do that. What if there's like a specific reason why it should fall on your shoulders? It's a relative of yours. If a parent requires such a surgery, does the child have to sell their house to pay for that kind of health care, or let's say long-term health care, just to keep a parent alive sometimes? So it costs a lot of money. Does a child have to give up everything they have in order to... What?
Maybe it's time-sensitive also. He's not even under or time-sensitive.
Right. And it could be time-sensitive also, even if it's not a parent. So that's what the OU asked me to speak about. Then I got this email tonight. And it's not at all a pikuach nefesh type of situation, but listen to what it is. A person writes as follows. My father needs to fly to Israel to take care of urgent business, and he needs to be there by Sunday. He asked me to book a ticket for him. The father is not observant in this situation. The child is observant. So he asked me to book a ticket for him for Saturday, and the cheapest flight is $480, but is leaving 11:30 a.m. Saturday morning. My father's not observant. He asked me to book that ticket for him. I told him I can't, and I convinced him to fly on the El Al flight leaving Saturday night. That's $890. I told him that I would give him the $410 for the $480 that he would be paying anyway. My question is, am I chayiv to do that? Am I chayiv to pay $410 to save my father from Chilul Shabbos, to save him from flying on Shabbos? Now, he didn't ask, is he chayiv to do it now that he's told his father he would do it? That may be a different shayla, meaning once he said, I'm going to do it, so that could create its own chiyuv sheris yisrael l'yasa avla. We assume that hin tzedek shetei hein shalachat tzedek v'lav shalachat tzedek, that when you say that you're going to do something, you're supposed to follow through, you're supposed to do it. So it's not something that his father would be able to sue him for, because there was no kinyan or anything like that. Probably not even something he would be mekabel mishapara for, but it's something that he should probably do once he has said that he would do it. But the question is, does he have to say he would do that in the first place? Yeah.
Well, I think even if you want to say it's a chiyuv, like there's only a certain amount of money to spend on mitzvah. Like, I think, and you say that you're not like supposed to spend a certain amount of money.
So good. So the in identifying the issues, issue number one obviously is going to be, how much do you have to spend on these mitzvahs? But in order to even raise that question, you have to figure out, what are these mitzvahs?
Is it a mitzvah in the first place?
Is what a mitzvah in the first place? Which question are you working on? The OU question or the email question?
The second one we're saying is the
mitzvah. Yeah, is that a mitzvah in the first place? Okay, so what would the mitzvah be? Is there a mitzvah in that case?
One is kibbutz.
Kibbutz. Why is that kibbutz?
Because his father asked him to do something to help him out.
Meaning, if your father asks to help get a ticket, and you can't get him a ticket on a Shabbos flight, because you just can't do that. So the only way for you to do the mitzvah of kibbutz is by spending the extra $470.
Like with the Eber also, I would think, or like something like that, that you can't cause him to do a mitzvah. You're setting him up for that.
So if you were to buy the Shabbos ticket, that would seem to be lifnei iver.
Right.
Okay.
To push it off.
So to avoid lifnei iver, it's going to cost him this amount of money.
Right,
but there is a third option over here. He could just tell his father, "I can't do any of this. I can't. You're on your own here." Right. So it's not really spending the money to avoid lifnei iver.
I think this might be discussed elsewhere. Is it even lifnei iver in person? That's going to be driving around all day. He's going to be.
So there is a.
He's on the plane, or he's in his car, or watching his TV, or whatever else.
So there is a sheet of the shach, the way Dagum Ravav explains the shach, at least, that if you have a person who is anyway not observant, in the sense that what we mean by not observant is not that they, you know, do an avera every once in a while, they sometimes speak lashon hara, they sometimes talk to chazar sashat. So what we mean by not observant is that a person who just doesn't care about the system, the whole system of halacha, it just doesn't bother them. It's not something that they think about at all. Then when dealing with misayei l'idei ovrei avera, it won't apply. Meaning lifnei iver midaraisa would still apply, but misayei midrabanan won't apply. What's the difference between lifnei iver daraisa versus misayei? Lifnei iver daraisa is what the Gemara says is when the trei avri dinara, when the person has no ability to do the avera but for your help. They couldn't do it without your help. They would never be able to do the avera. You're enabling them to do the avera. Misayei is they'd be able to do the avera without you. You're just making it easier for them. This case would fall squarely in misayei. Right, they're certainly capable of booking their own ticket. You're just making it easier for them by taking care of it for them, so they have to do less of the work. So there is the sheet of Dagum Ravav and the Shach, the Misayeya doesn't apply to a person who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Now you're adding, even you might be saying something else also, that sometimes when you're looking at Lifnei Iver, you have to look at the Miut Hara. You look at the, where is the least bad going to come about? You know, Shlomo Zalman famously discusses, you have a case where the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that one is not allowed to give someone food when you know that that person will not recite a bracha, because you're being machshil them in the yisur of not saying a bracha. So what if you have a case where you have you're moving and you have these movers schlepping boxes and boxes of svarim, and it's 95 degree day outside and they're schwitzing like crazy, and these movers are Jewish but they are not religious, can you offer them water? So Shlomo Zalman's shita was yes. Why? They're not going to say a bracha, but what's the greater lifnei iver? To be the frum Jew who doesn't offer water on a 95 degree day when they're schwitzing their brains out, and then it's going to cause them to hate all frum Jews and all, or to violate the issue of lifnei iver of giving someone who's not going to say a bracha some water? He said it's a worse lifnei iver, meaning miman of shochi violating lifnei iver. It's a worse lifnei iver to not give them the water than it is to give them the water. So maybe you have to measure, like, how bad is the issue going to be? Or Rav Vadia talks about, for example, Rav Vadia has a tshuva, can you keep a meat restaurant open during the 9 days? So, well, for Sfarim, let's say during Shavuot Shechalba, that you're not allowed to eat meat during Shavuot Shechalba for Ashkenazim during the 9 days. Can you keep a meat restaurant open? What's the svara? It's a place where many of those people, if they don't go to your restaurant, they'll go to a non-kosher restaurant. And that's going to be much, much worse. So, yes, it's lifnei iver. I'm feeding them meat when they're not allowed to eat meat. But isn't the result going to be, it's not lifnei iver to not open my restaurant, but isn't the result going to be worse? Meaning, can you define this as a maisa avera, or is this maybe a maisa hatzala? That I'm saving them from the worst issue. So you're saying, if my father's going to be driving in a car, I'd much rather him be sitting on a plane doing nothing than driving in a car all day, because when he's driving in a car all day, every time he hits the gas, he's in violation of this daraisa. What's he violating if he's sitting on a plane? Tchum and drabanan. Okay, well, so it's not nothing that, that rises to that level. It's just difficult to say that getting him a ticket is a maisa hatzala. That's saving him from the issue. It's a more difficult start.
In your case with Shlomo Zalman, I mean, speaking from personal experience, if it's a really hot day and I'm very thirsty, sometimes I forget to say bracha. So couldn't you apply that to even a Shomer Torah mitzvah?
No, because if you assume that they probably will say a bracha, you can give them water. If the concern, if they, you know that they won't, that's where Shulchan Aruch says you have a problem. So What other issue might there be in terms of the father? What other issue might, I mean, I didn't have a chance to think through this completely yet, but what other issue, aside from Lifnei Iver, which would be getting him the ticket on Shabbos, might be the Lifnei Iver, which maybe we have a heter, maybe we don't. I think even though you have that shach and you have the Dagum Vav, it would send a very wrong message if the child who gave up so much to be firm, probably, to be Chozer B'tshuva, is going to say, yeah, it doesn't really matter, it's okay, I'll buy you a ticket. You know, like that's what the father's gonna hear. If the kid says, "Look, you're gonna do what you're gonna do, but I can't participate in that. I can't partake in that." That I think sends a much more powerful message, a much more important message. Even though technically you have that heter, but aside from the Lifnei Iver, what else?
I mean, I think it's a stretch, but don't we say that you're supposed to listen to your parents, but also supposed to listen to Hashem more? So
yeah.
Here you should say that I can't do that for you. I mean, you should really say that Hashem comes first.
So that's talking about when your father asks you to violate an Aveira.
But he's asking you to buy a ticket for Shabbos. I mean,
he's your father himself is doing an Aveira. He's not asking you to violate an Aveira. So it may, and that's just saying that that's an exception to keep it up, right? That you don't have a mitzvah of keep it up. In Echnam, you know, mitzvah of keep it up. But I'm asking if there's an imperative to make sure he travels on a non-Shabbos day. Is there an imperative?
I mean, generally saying when it comes to low sase, you have to be worth everything.
Like, well, what's the low sase?
Saying he's going to be violating Shabbos assuming.
You're not violating Shabbos.
Like, so my question is, do you have to give up anything for someone else not violating Shabbos?
For someone else not to violate, right. So that's exactly what the question is, right? Do you have to, what would the...
So in general, is there a case
of that? Is there a requirement to make sure someone else doesn't violate Averos?
I mean,
come on, there's something in the Torah about making sure someone else doesn't violate Averos. What? Lifnei Iver, we already did. You're late. What?
I was going to say, I guess in a more extreme case, if you know you can help prevent somebody from marrying the shiksa, wouldn't there be a claim to do that? And why would this be any different? I mean, like, the whole...
Oh, good. We move heaven and earth to stop someone from marrying a non-Jew. I actually just sent sent the shadow to Rav Zilberstein. Maybe we'll discuss that next week about how much heaven and earth you move and how many yisurim you can violate
Shabbos,
to do.
Why is Shabbos any different?
Okay, good. I'm you know, these are thoughts. But where's the mitzvah? Where's the mitzvah to make sure someone is in Mechal Shabbos? So one possibility is there's a losa, say you're not allowed to stand idly by while someone else's something is threatened, whether his life is threatened, his health is threatened, or maybe his spiritual health is threatened. And what's the positive? There's a positive mitzvah d'oraisa that says that it bothers you when somebody else is doing an avera and you have to take a stand. You can't just sit idly by and say, yeah, live and let live. That's a very American concept. Yeah, live and let live. Everyone will be their own. You know, this one decides he wants it. That's a lifestyle choice. He's going to decide he's going to be non-religious. He's going to be, you know, it even crept into the language in modern Orthodox society. Are you Shomer-Nagi or are you not Shomer-Nagi? You know, it's a choice. A person has a choice. He decides what he's going to be Shomer and what he's not going to be Shomer. Nowadays, you could decide if you're a man or a woman. You decide whatever you want. You know, just make all your choices. So we don't believe that. We believe that there's a right and a wrong, and when you see someone violating the Torah, and you have the ability to stop them, or even the potential ability to stop them, suffix, the possible ability to stop them, you have to say something. If you see something, say something. If you know for sure that you won't be able to stop them, then you don't have to say anything. But that's only if you know for sure. Now over here, you know for sure you will be able to stop him. So is this part of the mitzvah of tochacha? Of ocheach tochiach? Now, if it's part of the mitzvah of ocheach tochiach, l'chora, how much do you have to spend to do a mitzvah d'oraisa?
Isn't ocheach tochiach, though, in a more of a Muslim sense, like teaching him why you should be keeping Shabbos?
That's the way we often use it, but l'chora, it's to stop, when someone's about to do an avera, to stop him from the avera.
Wouldn't you say the chiyach here, or that,
yeah, you would have to tell him, but also to actually, you can actually get him to not do the Avera. What? So generally speaking, But we assume that you have to spend for tzedakah, not necessarily, even though that's where it's originally used, you don't have to necessarily spend the chomesh, only minig is 10%, but really mikra din probably even less. But for mitzvah saseh, we generally assume, Raman in Tafresh and Vav, Shulchan Aruch talks about this in the Long Bir Halacha, by in Hilchos Lulav, that you should spend up until 20% of your money to do a mitzvah. You're not allowed to spend more than 20% of your money to do a mitzvah unless you are an usher muflag, unless you are fabulously wealthy. So the question, of course, is always, how do you define fabulously wealthy? Right? So I often, whenever I say this, I always tell Rav Schechter once remarked to me that he spends way more than 20% of his money on tzedakah because he's an usher muflag. He says, I'm an usher muflag. Now, I'm not sure why you pay it's Rosh Yeshiva, but I'm pretty sure that I come from the five towns. It's not usher muflag the way the five towns defines usher muflag. But he feels that he has so much more than he needs. I once asked Rav Shai, when Rav Shechter was coming for a Shabbos, you know, he never asks for any money. So, and you can't even give it to him. You have to give it to his wife because he just like, don't give, enough already, stop. So I asked, you know, how much, like, what's the standard? He said, whatever you give him, we'll just give to tzedakah. You know, he's not going to, the next mishulch that comes to the door, we'll go away with that. But so an usher muflag is allowed to spend more than 20% of his money. But short of an usher muflag, that's generally the rule. That's Gemara Maseches Ksubos Daf Nun Takanas Usha. They made a takana that Mavazi Zali Vazi Zelsim Mechamish. It's an interesting.
What if the $410 was more than 20%?
Okay, so probably it wasn't, right? Probably the $410 is not more than 20% of this guy's money. Okay, now there is an interesting discussion in the Achronim. That's the Takanas Usha. It was the Takana they made in Usha not spend more than 20% of the money. And before Takanas Usha? Meaning, there was this point where the rabbis got together in Usha and they said, okay, now that's it. The halacha is 20%. So before Takanas Usha, what was the halacha? So Chassam Sofer says, before Takanas Usha, you'd have to give everything. The Netziv is bothered by that. In Merom Esad, the Netziv says, so they were oker a din d'oraisa. I mean, a din d'oraisa is do the mitzvah at all costs. You have a mitzvah to do, you got to do it. So they were oker a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Yeah,
so the Netziv suggests that the concern of the reason they were misaking this in Usha, that you can't spend more than a fifth, the Gemara says, Shema ye'ani v'itztarich lebrios. We're afraid the person is going to become poor and then he's going to need to collect money himself. He says, Shema ye ani relates to kavod abrios. A person being an ani will be a pagam in his kavod abrios, and you're allowed to violate a daraisa b'shevi altaseh for the sake of kavod abrios. That's a sugyan brachas yotes, that there's the Gemara says that gadol kavod abrios shodocha lo saseh shebetorah, that kavod abrios is docha lav in the Torah. So the Gemara says, really? A lav in the Torah? The Gemara says, not really. I mean, it's not every lav in the Torah. Only a lav that violated b'shevi al tasa, or any iser midrabanan, right? Right, that's the Gemara, that's the sugya about removing the shatness in public. So kavod abrios docha lo seisha b'torah. So that's how the Netziv says. Rav Asher Weiss didn't think that any of this was correct. He thought clearly there was no need to spend all your money on a mitzvah, just like you don't have to spend all of your time on a single mitzvah. You know, similar to what the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Tes says, the Ilu Srami Gimel Mitzvahs, Yishalim Kol Mamono, the Gemara talks about Baba Kama, that Hidr Mitzvah Ad Shlish. So the Gemara says, what is Ad Shlish? I'm sorry, that B'mitzvah Ad Shlish. So the Gemara says, what does it mean B'mitzvah Ad Shlish? Does it mean you have to spend a third of your money to do a mitzvah? Then Ilu Srami Gimel Mitzvahs, if you have three mitzvahs, you're not going to have any money left. So maybe the answer is, okay, so you don't have any money left. But, you know, no one said it's easy to be a Jew. You're a Jew. You do what God says. But the Gemara says, not possible. It's not possible that a person could have three mitzvahs and wipe him clean of all of his money. Not possible. So Rav Asher says, it's not possible that you could have five mitzvahs and wipe you clean of all your money. So it can't be that beforehand that you'd have to spend all of your money on a mitzvah. There's always a proper balance that has to be struck, and what Takanas Usha did is it helped us define what that proper balance is. But Mido Raisa, you have to have a normal balance in life. and figure out how much to spend. And how much, and it has to be some level of living life and maintaining a normal balance. To figure out what that balance is. So they figured out what that balance is. But over here, l'chora, if we're dealing with a mitzvah sefer chech tachir, potentially a mitzvah lo saseh of lo sam adam rech. Now for a lo saseh, you have to spend everything. I often tell the story about a friend of mine when we were in college, who we were working as assistant youth directors in Lincoln Square Synagogue, and he was driving into Manhattan, and he was on what was at that time called the Triborough Bridge. It's now called the RFK Bridge. And he got and there was terrible traffic, and he just got over the bridge in time for Shabbos, like mamish, right before Shkia, parked by a fire hydrant because it was the first place he could find to park. He got out of his car and walked the rest of the way, and his car got towed, and after Shabbos he had to pay a few $100 to get his car back. And he asked Rav Shechter on Sunday morning, what would have happened if the traffic would have been even worse and Shkia would have happened while I was on the bridge? Then what? So Rav Shechter said, then you'd, assuming it's a safe neighborhood, you'd have to get out of your car and walk. Leave your car. So he said, but this can cause such chilul Hashem, it's going to back up traffic even further because I'm leaving my car, you know, right in the middle of the bridge. Rav Shechter said, I never said take your keys with you. Someone will take your car. In order to avoid Chilul Shabbos, you call Mamono, call on Beso. You give up. So if we're talking about a low sase over here, that there's a low sam lo damrecha, and take this back to the OU question that they wanted me to give a shir about. That's mamish lo sam lo damrecha. Someone is dying. There's a low sase. Do not stand idly by while someone is dying. So l'chori, you should have to spend all of your money. So what's the, is that true? Do we say, okay, in a chidami, you know, let's wrap it up early tonight and say that, you know, you talk after have to spend all your money.
Meaning, like, literally all your money, become a poor person? Like,
yeah, literally all your money. So I think let's take one question at a time. We'll start with the one we've been discussing more. Let's take the case of the father flying on Shabbos. Rav Asher Weiss has a... I don't remember where he has this discussion, but I've definitely heard him say it a couple of times about how to define what's called spending for a mitzvah. Maybe Rishonim that say it, I don't remember. How to define what's called spending for a mitzvah. I mean, let's say I have a mitzvah to save someone from violating an isser, right? I see someone is about to steal something of mine. Do I have a requirement to quickly be mafkir it before he steals it? It's less than 20% of my money. I'll quickly be mafkir, then he won't be in violation of an isser. Am I obligated to do that? That's crazy, right? It can't be that if I see someone's about to... I feel his hand is going into my pocket to pickpocket me, to pull my wallet out. I'm mafkir my wallet, right? Someone mugs me. So before I give it to him, it's just, no, I'm being mafkir this. And then give it to him. An obligation to do that? Is that what we mean by spending on a mitzvah? Spending on a mitzvah is when you spend on the mitzvah. It's not when you do crazy things to be able to make sure that that the guy doesn't violate an avera. That's not really spending on the mitzvah. Meaning if a guy needed, if I need a lulav, so buying the lulav is spending on a mitzvah. Right, but to be mafkir my stuff so that someone else won't be in violation, that's not spending on the mitzvah. That's figuring out a thing where I set it, where I spend over, where I lose money over here in order that there won't be a violation. So I would think this fits into that category. You know, the mitzvah of Hochiach Tochiach is not to buy plane tickets during the week, you know, for someone who would otherwise fly on Shabbos. The mitzvah of chayach tochiach is to be machiach. Is to tell him, you know, this is really not right. What?
The famous story of Malaysia.
Yeah, the famous story of Malaysia, right? The guy's, Dan's deals saved the guy's life. Yeah.
Isn't showing your father that you're willing to spend $400 on going to be machiach Shabbos extra benefit?
So I thought... No, so there are two questions over here. There's what's one mechuyev to do, and what one ought to do.
This seems to be the exact definition of a
mechuyev. Why is this exact?
You're telling your father, like you're telling your father, don't be mechal Shabbos, we can do this, this is better.
Yeah, but does that demand that you spend $400? So I don't think that requires you to spend $400, meaning that's not the hochech tochiach is telling your father. The hochech tochiach is not spending your money to buy him a different ticket. So I would think it's the right thing to do. It's a very, very beautiful chumrah, you know, and it really makes a very powerful statement. You have to know the person's financial situation, you know, and how this will affect his shalom bias or whatever else, you know, like, his wife is like, well, you're just buying your father plane tickets so that, like that, you have to really know the situation in order to properly address it. And the truth is, I don't really know the situation well enough to properly address it. But you know, I haven't responded to this email yet. I was hoping we'll come up with an answer over here. But I don't think it's an obligation. I don't think it's that. Now, once he said he's going to do it, he may have just bought himself an obligation by saying that he's going to do it. But before he said, I don't think it's an obligation to do it.
Yeah, it's a tochacha by your father.
Why not?
You just have to do it in the right way.
Of course it is. The Gemara says that you see your father violating an aver, don't say Abba Avartel Devar Torah, but you should say, doesn't it say Kasuv Torah so-and-so? Right? So meaning you just have to do it in a respectful way. You have to do it properly. You have to do it in a respectful way. So what about... you know, in general, spending everything to avoid a lo saseh, there must be some limitation on that as well. For example, where do we say this idea of hamvaz zali vaz yosem mechamish? It's by the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzedakah is not only a mitzvah saseh, tzedakah is also two lo saseh. That lo sa'ames, lo sikbots, you're not allowed to close your hand, close your heart, strengthen your heart, and refuse to give. Ain't a chinami, but when it's money, someone comes and they're looking for money, so shouldn't you say, oh, it's a los haseh to not give, so I should give all my money. So this is a major question that the Achronim deal with, and how you answer that question may shed light on the issue of los hamra damrecha. Excuse me. When you see someone who's going to die, if you don't give up all your money, do you have to give up all your money to prevent them from dying? So how you deal with the tzedakah question will help us deal with that question. The Tshuva Me'ava, Talmud of the Noda B'Yehuda, says that Eino Chinam, by tzedakah, you do have to give up all your money. I thought I'm Vaz Zal Vaz Yosem Yichomesh. That's to go and find an ani to give tzedakah to. But when there's an ani lefanav, when there's someone in front of, the lo saseis only kick in when there's an ani there asking for money. Right? The idea of don't close your heart, don't close your hands, that's only when there's an ani there asking for money. If there's no one there asking for money, then some vazir zali vazir zosim mechomesh. Now that is quite a chumrah. And that's particularly challenging for, let's say, a doctor who has, you know, he should never go home. There's someone that needs him somewhere.
It's going to be magic in the long run.
Yeah, it's going to be magic in the long run because he'll never get sleep and he'll, Eino chinami. The Stipler has a letter in Karina Digrisa where someone asked him, he said he wasn't sure whether you should go into Rabbanus or you should go into medicine. And he said, you know, if I go into medicine, I'll be able to live in a much firmer community than if I go into Rabbanus. You know, because I'll be, you know, the firmest doctor around, but, you know, I'd be like the least firm rabbi around, you know, like, so I'm going to live in a much less religious community if I'm the rabbi of the community. So the Stipler told him, he gives him like six reasons why he should go into Rabbanus. He says, Rabbanus adifi yosef v'yosef mikama sibos. And the third reason he gives is, de be'inyin pikuach nefesh kasha ma'od latzei sidei chavaso be'emes. To actually know when you've done enough in pikuach nefesh is very hard. De b'makom shebiyado lahatzil, because once you have that ability to save lives, m'chuyev lasos hakol, and here's the key line, v'lo lahashkiach klal ala kesef v'ibur hazman. Once you have the ability to save a life, you cannot make money a factor at all, nor time a factor at all. Which is quite a tall order. So he says, don't put yourself in that position.
That's what the Grud is
saying. Ah, so that's what Shechter always likes to say, that the Grud didn't go to medical school. He wanted to study medicine, and his father told him, you can't study medicine, because if you study medicine, you're going to have an obligation to heal everybody, and then you're never going to be able to learn. So it was more important that we have a Vilna Gaon rabbi than a Vilna Gaon doctor. Right, okay. Well, Ram didn't have much time to learn, which makes it all the more remarkable. Right, according to his own description of his daily schedule. It wasn't he had all those years where he was writing the Mishnah Torah. That then he was only learning. He wasn't practicing as a physician yet. It was only once his brother went out of business.
Not all areas of medicine do you have the opportunity to save lives.
That's true, right? That's true. You could...
pediatrician typically not necessarily.
Well, pediatricians save lives too. I've seen it. That's
medicine in the Rambam research. Medicine in the Grosser time were separate differently than medicines now.
Yes. And different from each other.
Don't they need kif for that reason?
Yeah, they do. But it's a difficult balance to know exactly. The Chassam Sofer writes that the requirement to spend all your money is only when the violation will be bekum va'aseh, but not when it's shevial ta'aseh. Ooh, that will help us.
Yeah.
Because in this case, it's shevial ta'aseh. To not pay the $300,000, to not sell your house, to come up with the money to pay for that surgery, that's shevial ta'aseh. So that would certainly help in this case if you hold like the Chassam Sofer. The Maril Diskin in the Tshuva says no. The reason there's no violation
of Maril Diskin
tonight. Oh, so it's a good thing. Wow, that's okay. Good, great coincidence. So says of us Mikavri. No Tachanun tomorrow. Okay, so Maril Diskin in a Tshuva writes based on the Ramban and Kiddushin Lamed Daled. Is tzedakah a mitzvah saseh or is tzedakah a mitzvah lo saseh? Stop a Jew on the street. What kind of mitzvah is tzedakah? An aseh or a lo saseh? It's an aseh. But the Torah has two lo saseh associated with tzedakah. Those two lo saseh are clearly there to support the aseh. Meaning, be'ikar, it is a mitzvah saseh. And therefore, it follows the rules of a mitzvah saseh. Now, that won't help us. For lo sam lo dam reecha. Lo sam lo dam reecha. L'chor is b'ikar of mitzvahs lo saseh. It's a lo saseh b'shevi al taseh, but it's violated b'shevi al taseh, but it's a lo saseh. Now, Rav Asher Weiss suggests, no, what's the lo saseh of tzedakah? What is it? Lo sikpos lo sa'amit. What does that mean? What does that mean? Don't be stingy and unkind and ungiving. A poor person comes to your door. He needs a lot of money. You write him a check for $180. The guy next door gave him $1. The guy on the other side just yelled at him. Right? He's hoping you get $5, maybe somewhere else down the block. You just write him a check for $180. Okay, so you didn't empty your bank account and sell your house. You violated the issue of being stingy? So Rashi says, what the lo saseh is only violated if you were stingy, by definition. The lo saseh is not violated when you didn't cover all of his expenses. That's not the lo saseh. The mitzvah of tzedakah may be de machzor sheyachzalo. Okay, so that we say up to 20%. But the lo saseh is only violated if you actually were stingy. It's an interesting take on it. Now, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, the Avas Chesed, the Chavetz Chaim, and Avas Chesed writes a startling thing that's really, if we paskin like it, it's a problem for many of us. He writes, this whole thing of 20%, V'nira demari bofen she'in nogea l'pikuach nefesh mamish. That's only if there's no lives at stake. Avul im nogea l'pikuach nefesh mamish kigon. Someone is starving, mamish. Ein shayich bazesh yer chomesh. V'lo'am b'mitzia samach beiz rak dechayav kodom l'chayich havera. What does Gemara b'mitzia say? The two guys walking in the desert, only one canteen of water. Chayecha kodmin. If you're holding the canteen of water, you get to drink that water. Chayecha kodmin. V'chayach ichayimach. Chayecha kodem l'chayecha vircha. Yes, says the Chafetz Chaim, aval de oshro kodem l'chayecha vero. Lo matzinu. That your wealth should come before someone else's life? That we don't find anywhere. So the Achronim point out, you know, how do we answer for ourselves when someone comes to our door with a life-threatening situation and we don't give up all of our ashiras?
Well, couldn't you say you're going to have an issue with Pikuach Nefesh if you make yourself an ani and give up all your wealth? You'll be living
with a man in America.
You'll get food stamps, yeah.
What about ani chashev kemeski?
So, good. So the... Not everyone agrees with this Chafetz Chaim, needless to say. The question is why not? We'll get to that in a second.
The Abbas class said that we were talking about tzedakah or load. Most of the class is about loads.
He's talking about paying money for pidyon shvuyim. Now, perhaps the answer is that if it's a type of situation where there's no reason that it should be your chiyuv more than anyone else's, the guy's going door to door. So I spoke to Salvechik about this. He said that that's what his impression was, that the poskim all say, like, why is it my chiv and not my neighbor's chiv? So Klal Yisrael together has to do what they can to, you know, but everyone contributes a little bit. So you just do your part. The Zera Emes, the Tshuva Zera Emes, quoted by the Darkei Tshuva, agrees la halach with the Chafetz Chaim, but for a different reason. He says because of the lav of lo samar adam reyecha. Not chayecha kodim l'chayecha vircha and ein osro kodim l'chayecha vircha. He just says, "Lo samar damrecha." You got to give up all your money. So who disagrees? There is a marsham in a tshuva in chelkesim and dalit where the marsham writes that you do not have to spend all your money to save a life, but his svaras are very difficult. He quotes a what? What about the Gemara Gittin?
About
pidyon shvuyim. That's what the Chafetz Chaim was discussing, but the. Because we're afraid that but that's not our case over here. We're talking about someone's dying, he needs surgery, right? So the Ran in Sukkah quotes from the Ravid, and this quote in the Beis Yosef in Tav Reish Nun Vav, that since Hamavazveh is based on the concern of Shema Ye Ani, and Chazal tell us Ani is Chashav Kemes, you may have to give up your money to avoid active violation of Alos Aseh, but between the fact that this is passive and the fact that being poor is a little bit like dying, I mean, he's using Ani Chashav Kemes as like not a full svara, because if Ani Chashav Kemes was a full svara, then you would never have to give up all your money for any Alos Aseh. But the halacha is for Alos Aseh, you have to give up all your money for Chil Shabbos, not to avoid Chil Shabbos. If you really held that you're like a mace when you give up all your money, so you don't have to die for Chil Shabbos. So he uses it as like a half a svara. I'll allow it, we'll use Ani Chashav Kemes to allow for passively violating. So one svara he has. Plus he has, Gemara in Erevin says, Anius is Mavira Saladim Aldas Kono. A person is poor, he ends up not being so observant, because it becomes very hard for him to be religious. So he says, this may fit into what Yuma Pehei, Chalal Shabbos Achas Kadei Shishmar Shabbos Asarbe. Better to violate this one Isser than... These Svaras are like, you know, it's like if you have a target where you're looking for like a Svara that mamash hits the target, it's like around the target, you know? None of them like really... Rav Zilberstein in his Shirei Torah L'Rofim, Chelk Beisim Kuf Chav Beis, quotes from his father-in-law, from Avli Yashiv, that you don't have to spend more than a fifth. And he says, to save a life, and he says, because the makar of the chiyuv to save a life is really from Vashevil Sila. Meaning, Lo Samar Adam Recha is not fundamentally a Lo Sasei, it's the twin mitzvah to the mitzvah of Vashevil Sila, of Hashavas Aveda, Aveda's Gufo, which is really fundamentally a mitzvah Sasei. Similar to Tzedakah being really a mitzvah Sasei, even though it might have Lo Saseis, yeah, saving a life is also really fundamentally a mitzvah Sasei. You don't have to spend more than 20% of your money for a mitzvah Sasei. So these are some of the svaras that we have. You have to say some sort of svara like this. Now it happens to be, this is in a real case where there's a real life at risk and it's a family member. So, you know, it falls on you to figure it out Most often, it doesn't come down to this. Most often, it comes down to negotiating with the insurance company. It comes down to learning the system and how to make it work. It comes down to sometimes fundraising. Most often, it doesn't come down to selling one's house. And when it, you know, when these situations arise, obviously you don't go on the internet and listen to a shir about it to figure out how to deal with it. You need to speak to a person, Talmud Chacham, who's familiar with all the elements of it in order to figure out a plan of attack. My brother just pointed out to me that what he faces most often, my brother lives near a very major hospital in California, so a lot of times they have people coming in from Israel or from other places to get major surgeries there, and he says he finds a lot of times people will lie to get into certain programs or insurance coverage or whatever, and that's a tricky question. Can you do that? Meaning, can you lie so that insurance will cover the life-saving surgery? Is it stealing from the insurance company? Are you allowed to steal to save your own life? It's a different sugya of Kama, Rashi, and Tosos. But what if it's not to save a life? You know, you say a child has cleft palate, right? It's a horrible, horrible, disfiguring thing. It's not life-threatening. So to what extent do we view psychological trauma as pikuach nefesh? Because to go through life like that is psychological trauma. These are very, very complicated questions.
The immunity and but something does happen, then it mostly is with certain conditions.
Yeah, it could be more serious. So these are very complicated questions that have to be dealt with. I'm going to have to run because I got to catch a very early flight tomorrow morning. But yeah, well, come over. I don't want to hold it on. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.